I've entitled this sermon as Wonder Woman, and it comes from a well-known section of Scripture, which is Proverbs chapter 31. And because today we are celebrating Mother's Day, and we certainly want to honor the women in our lives, women who are mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, stepmothers, step-grandmothers, and even spiritual mothers. Now, the traditional image of a wife and mother is usually a lady cooking, preparing a table full of delicious food, smiling happily as she watches the family eat. It is an image of a mother reading a bedtime story to her small children. But that is not reality, because the world we live in today has changed a lot from a generation ago. Today, women are more likely to juggle work and motherhood as best as they can. They may have to rely on maids or cleaning services to help with the housework. Families may opt to eat out often or order meals through Grab or Food Panda. Household chores are often shared with husbands and children. And mothers will want to carve out some downtime for themselves. The modern woman wants to have it all, be it career, a happy home life, and time for herself. She has personal goals. She wants to be financially independent. That's the image that the world we live in promotes today as the average modern woman. Isn't that true? Now, this is a persuasive and an attractive image. But in case it takes us further away from God's plans for wives and mothers, let us look again at Proverbs 31. We are given an outline here of an ideal woman by God. So it is good for us to revisit this passage of the Bible to see what God considers to be the hallmarks of an excellent wife and mother. Let us look at Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10 to 31 especially. Now, we're going to learn this key point this morning, and it's this: that a woman's role as a wife and mother is ordained by God and deserves our respect and gratitude. That's the main thing we're going to learn this morning. That a mother and a wife is ordained by God, their role, and deserves our respect and gratitude. I want to bring to you the background this morning. The background is given for us in verses 1 to 9, which I won't read to you, but we're going to look at the background. Now, Proverbs 31 was written by King Lemuel. We know very little about him, but we do know he has a good Jewish mother who offered him great advice. Now, since King Lemuel was of royal birth, he was ruler over his subjects. So his mother had to tell him things that the mother thought he needed to know. For instance, if you have your Bible, if you look at verse 3, it's also on the screen, it says, "Do not spend your strength on women, your vigor on those who ruin kings." Now, his mother told him not to have any sex with women as he was a single man. She urged him to stay pure. She told him to stay away from women, for that is the way that kings were ruined. Don't you just love mothers because they still tell us the same things today for our good? In verse 4, the king's mother advised him to stay away from wine and anything that was strong, because wine clouds judgment. Now, our mothers offer us this same advice today. In verse 8 to 9, she advised her son to speak on behalf of those who could not speak for themselves. She advised her son to defend those who were weak, insignificant, unable to help themselves, because her son was in a position to do the right thing. In this way, her son, the king, would be a good king, a great man. She then gave him some advice on how to find a good wife. And that forms the bulk of Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 to 31. Now, our mothers also give us the same good advice today. If you look at verses 10 to 31, it contains 22 verses. Now, there are also 22 characters in the Hebrew alphabet. Each of these verses begin with the next character in the Hebrew alphabet, starting with Aleph, Beth, Gimel, and so on. And it was written in this way so that it was easy for the Jews to memorize for themselves the qualities of what makes a good wife and mother. Every young Jewish boy would be taught by his mother to memorize Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10 to 31 in this way. And they all know it. Now let's look in detail on verses 10 to 31. Firstly, we have a woman of character and virtue. I read to you verse 10 to 12. A wife of noble character, who can find? She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Today, the world tells us to go for looks, education, personality, compatibility, accomplishments, style, family status when choosing someone to marry. Isn't that true? But this mother tells her son in verses 10 to 12 to value the woman he's going to marry for her character. For her character. For this woman will be someone who will always put his best interests first. She will be the one who will point out his faults because she's not afraid to tell him so, in order for her husband to improve. She will be supportive and encourage him. She will be his greatest cheerleader. She will always believe in him. Now, even if his friends fail him, he knows his wife will never fail him because she is his best friend. She loves him. She will do what is best for him. And that is why, as her husband, he knows that she is someone who is worth far more, someone of enormous value, like rubies, because her husband will have full confidence and trust in her. This is a woman valued more than rubies, a symbol at that time of enormous and rare value. In ancient times, wives were often treated as second-class citizens. Men kept strong friendships with other men. Their wives were treated almost like servants. For love, some men kept concubines. They do not even touch their wives after they have children with their wives. And that's why husbands would lock away their valuables if they had to go anywhere, because they didn't trust their wives. But here, in verse 11, the husband can trust his wife completely. He's confident of her wisdom, her discretion, her integrity. His wife, he's sure, will never harm him. In verse 12, because of her wise spending, she can then be left to take charge of the household expenses, leaving the man free to focus on his work, to leave his wife to take care of everything on the home front. He knows he can trust her because she brings him good all the days of her life. You can almost hear the Jewish mother of King Lemuel advising her son, look for a woman whom you can trust, whether in good times or bad times, in times when you're healthy or when you're sick, because you can depend upon her. So, I'm now going to address the men today, here. Do you see your wives as your greatest cheerleader and supporter? Does she point out your faults so that you can be a better person? Do you know she does this because she loves you and wants the best for you? Are you comfortable to trust her with whatever she spends using the credit cards because you're confident in her wise spending? Now, if your answer is yes, you have a wife that is worth more than rubies. So treasure her all the time, not just on special days like birthdays, Mother's Day, and anniversaries. Let's move on to scripture. We now look at a woman of industry. That's in verses 13 to 18. I read to you. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it out of her earnings and plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. Verse 19. In her hand she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. We have here an image of a woman who is a multitasker. In ancient times, there's no such thing as going to a shop to get ready-made clothes. So women had to use wool from the sheep that they rear and gather flax that they grow to make their own woolen cloth for wool from the wool and linen cloth from the flax. Woolen cloth for the winter, linen for the summer. Now the women need eager, firm hands to be able to spin the wool and flex into thread, and then use looms to weave the threads into cloth. That's what she does in verse 13. And in verse 14, we have the image of the woman willing to go far like a merchant ship to get food. Now, we can relate to this when we think of our wives and mothers, like many of you here, who will think nothing of getting up early and driving to a wet market far away because the vegetables and the fruits in that market are fresh and reasonable. And you're willing to drive to a bakery or a cake shop on the other side of the city. Why? Because it's that special bread and cakes that your family loves. And you're willing to do all these things because you love your family. Isn't that true? In verse 15, we have the image of the lady in the household getting up early to make sure her family gets a hot breakfast before they leave for work or school. She also makes sure that she delegates and instructs the maids to do what has to be done for that day. And that is what setting out the portions for female servants mean. I believe that describes what some of the women in our church do early every day. In verse 16 to 18, we are given an image of the woman's good business sense. Now, because she's careful with the use of money and household expenses, she's able to put aside money a bit at a time each month until she has enough to buy a field, even a small vineyard. That's in verse 16 to 18. We are told she works hard, tirelessly, and whatever she does, profits accumulate. Now the image of a woman making sure her lamp does not go out, that's in verse 18, refers to an ancient practice. Because lamps at that time had to be kept burning through the night in Jewish households. It was the woman's duty to trim the oil lamps, top up the oil by midnight. And it was a duty to make sure the oil is always topped up and that there will be light before dawn so that there is light to grind corn to make the first meal of the day. Now, these images point to a woman who's hardworking, reliable, good at savings, prospering the whole family with her wise investments. We see women also today in our midst doing the same thing. Their husbands often entrust them with the household savings. They use it to keep the household running, but they also manage to set aside some savings for the rainy day. Slowly, these savings are enough to make a small investment. They also supplement the household income with some work they can do at home. Some babysit for others, some bake and cook as a side income, and so on. That's how industrious and hardworking women are. And I think that describes some of you here this morning. In verses 19 to 22, we have an image of the woman who does not forget to help the poor and the needy. She provides the best for her family. Now, during winter, when it snows and it's cold, she makes sure her family is warmly clothed. And so, therefore, she chooses the color of warmth, which is scarlet. The color red, scarlet, is a warm color that they use in those days in winter. While the color white reflects is the color for the hot summer months. And this means the wise woman chooses just the right type of clothing for her family. Similarly, she makes sure her household is tidy and presentable. And that's reference to how well her bed is made. She also always dressed appropriately. Now, because she runs her household so well and so efficiently, it reflects well on her husband, who's then accorded the respect of being accepted as an elder in the city. In verse 23, the husband is invited to be an elder sitting on the raised deck by the city gates to help administer and judge disputes and cases along with the other city elders. The Jewish mother reminds her son that behind every successful man is a wife and mother. But today, there are some who look down on women who are housewives. There are some men and children who take what their wives and mothers do for the household, they take them for granted. They may belittle the work as unimportant compared to work done in an office. And because the wife's work does not add to the family income, the husband sometimes look down on the wives. They may even criticize her efforts or put her down. They do not realize that such harsh words can crush her spirit. It will damage her self-esteem. Too often, these same men and children have forgotten that it was because the household was so well run, they are free to focus on their own work and pursuits. They've forgotten that the reason for their success was partly due to the quiet hard work of the wife and mother of the household. Now, I hope none of the men and children here have done that to the women in your lives, because you would not be where you are if not for the stability that wives and mothers have provided in your household. If the wives and mothers had been industrious in the multitasking, we must show our appreciation and respect for all that they have done. Let us move on in scripture. Verse 24. Here we have the spiritual woman. She makes linen garments, sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Verse 29. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. In verse 24, we have another image here of a good business sense. She makes items of clothing, not only for her family, but also to see to others, thus adding to the family income. In verse 25 to 30, we have here an image of a spiritual woman. The Jewish mother tells her son, look for a woman to marry, a woman who fears the Lord. When a woman fears the Lord, she will live her life in obedience to God. She will want to bring her children to obey God. And so, she will be instructing her children in the ways of the Lord. She will speak wisely, and she will be a good example for her children. She will never tell her children to do one thing and then she does something else. She has no double standards. Such a woman would always be clothed in strength and in dignity. She has nothing to fear. She's always walking right before God. And that is why she can laugh at the days to come. Look for such a woman to be your wife. We see women here in our midst today doing the same thing, fulfilling the spiritual role God has given them to be physical and spiritual mothers. We salute the women who take their time, patience, and trouble to point their children to the Lord, to make sure their children follow their exemplary lives, so that their children may model after them. They're hardworking and they do their best to set good examples. There are women who will get their children to go to church, to attend Sunday school. They're the ones who will drive their children to Boys Brigade events, to vacation Bible schools. They know they must lay a foundation for their children in the love of God's word, so that God's word remains an anchor in their lives. And that is why the husbands and children will want to bless, praise, and honor her. That's why husbands and children are to appreciate and respect their wives and mothers all the days of their lives. As they have been richly blessed, so must they bless these mothers and wives. So will you do so. It's good for me to end this sermon with an example of a woman that's very much similar to the one in Proverbs 31. Initially, I had wanted to use an example from amongst the women in our church. But how could I just use one and leave many others out? So to overcome this dilemma, I will use an example that you may have heard of. She was the wife of the late Jim Elliot, an American missionary that was killed by a native tribe in Ecuador in 1956. Now, Elizabeth Howard was born in 1926. Her parents were missionaries. Her parents brought her up to love the Lord. From young, she wanted to serve God. She went to Wheaton College to study classical Greek, planning to use it as a foundation to spend her life in translation work, working to translate Bibles to native languages. That was her ambition. But it was in Wheaton College that she met Jim Elliot. Separately, she and Jim were sent to Ecuador to work with the Quechua Indians. And it was in Ecuador that Elizabeth and Jim married in 1953. They worked alongside each other. In 1955, Elizabeth gave birth to her daughter, Valerie. Now, soon after, Jim wanted to go into the interior to reach the hostile and unreached tribe, the Huarani. Now, Jim set out with four other missionaries, whilst Elizabeth and Valerie remained in Quito, the capital of Ecuador. Now, Jim and the others were killed by the Huarani in 1956, when Valerie was only 10 months old. Elizabeth was obviously very devastated, but she found strength in the Lord to forgive the Huarani people. Instead, she spent the next 2 years learning the Huarani language. And in 1958, she and her three-year-old daughter Valerie and another American woman missionary, they went to live amongst the Huarani tribe, the same people who killed her husband and his fellow missionary friends. It is through her work and other missionaries that followed that many in that tribe converted to Christianity. Elizabeth spent 5 years living with the Huarani until it was time for her to return back to the U.S. She remarried in 1969 to a professor in theology. She spent the rest of her life writing Christian books, speaking engagements, and in Bible translation works. She successfully juggled the roles of wife, homemaker, writer, mother, grandmother, and evangelist, and gave God the glory. Now, some of you may think you're not such a wonder woman, but in reality, some of you fit that description, because even though you're largely unsung, that is what you are. Many of you successfully juggle the roles of being a supportive and loving wife, a loving and caring mother, who's the one your children will turn to for advice when they face a crisis. You also juggle a role as a career woman. You also serve in church. And so we want to salute you today. And for that, I will ask all the mothers, the grandmothers, the wives to stand up today so they can say a prayer for you. Would the mothers and the grandmothers and the wives stand up today so I can say a prayer for you? Let us pray. Dear Father, you are our Creator. You, the Almighty God, have given us the women in our lives who are our wives and mothers. We want to uphold the women standing here before you. We want to thank you for the lives of these women who have been the anchor in our lives, a source of encouragement, support, and love for all of us. Please grant them good health, wisdom, strength, perseverance, joy, peace, grace, and gentleness. Please bless them as they remain a blessing to many. Please watch over them and grant them delight. May they continue to walk closely with you all the days of their lives. Please help them to be exemplary in their families and to give you the glory. And for the women in our midst who are planning to have children, may you bless them with healthy children. In the mighty name of our Lord Jesus, we humbly pray. Amen.